Well, let's take your Bible, if you will. Let's go over to Mark chapter 2 this morning. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to depart from our stated study for the last couple of weeks. We'll be back in that next week and the next week. I'm thinking four, so that's where that'll wind up. At that point. And that study's talking about all those scary terms that we find in Ephesians chapter 1. And so we've looked at a couple of three of those so far. We'll continue on through those and get them all gathered up in time to get over to Ephesians chapter 1, make a reading, and go home. So that's what the intention is, so that by the time we get there, we understand what that means before we have to fight over Ephesians 1. Okay? So today we're going to take a look in Mark chapter 2, and let me read a little bit, and then we'll just talk a little bit, if that's all right with y'all. Verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Boy, I hope word gets out that Jesus is in the house around here. Don't you? How's he going to get out? Huh? How in the world is he going to get out of this room? You think it's going to leak out the door or what? Somebody that's in the room is going to have to go and say something, I'm afraid. Or it's not going to get out of here. The fact that we have a church that cares, the fact that we have a group here that loves each other and takes care of each other, the fact that we love Jesus, the fact that we care about things, that's not going to get out of here unless it happens outside this room. Amen. That is not something that just happens in this room. It has to be more than that. I tell you what, it has to be where the Great Commission and the Great Commandment meet up. Those two have to meet up in order for a church to be a great church. The Great Commandment is that we're to love God with everything that we've got. Soul, heart, strength, mind, feet, arms, legs, whatever. We're to love Him with everything that we've got. And then the Great Commission tells us that we're to go share that with the whole world. Love Him with everything we've got and then go share it with the world. Now, if we're going to love each other in here with everything that we've got and then just share it with each other here, then we are going to fall far short of what God's design for us is. If it's ever going to be noise that He's in the house around here, friend, you're going to have to make the noise. Amen? Amen. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, to answer your question, he's in the room. Amen. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth, before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. We ain't never seen nothing like this before in our life, is what they come up to the conclusion of. The Bible tells us that Jesus came preaching into Galilee. He came preaching the kingdom of God. Galilee's that area that's west of the Sea of Galilee and the northernmost part of Israel. And he went through all of that land, all of that area up in there, and he went teaching like no man had ever taught before. And as he went about teaching, he found himself constantly face to face with people who had needs. And being the Son of God that he is and was, how could he tell the people how to enter the kingdom of God and then overlook their suffering and overlook their pain? Well, Jesus, being filled with compassion, could not. Very compassionate Jesus that we have. Very compassionate Savior that we have. So he began to heal the infirmities of the people. And he began to use those occasions when he had everybody gathered up as wonderful teaching moments. I want to show you some things here. Go back to chapter 1, if you will. Go back to chapter 1, look at the 21st verse. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. So much I could say about that already. I mean, it's church time, and he was there. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So here's Jesus. He goes into the synagogue, and there's a man with an unclean spirit that comes in. And what does he do? Well, he just goes ahead and sets him free. Turns him loose from the binding that this evil spirit had upon him. Take a look at verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of the fever. And anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought into him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Peter's mother-in-law gets sick with a fever. So Jesus heals her. She gets up and she ministers to everybody in the house. Word gets around. And by nightfall, everybody that had a runny nose was there at the house. Everybody that had anything, "It hurts when I do this," come to the house where Jesus was, because he was healing many. In the morning, look what happens. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before a day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. So in the synagogue, here comes a leper. Comes to Jesus. He kneels down. Jesus heals him. He sends him away rejoicing. Oh, how happy the religious crowd of the day must have been at this wonderful turn of events, eh? How happy the religious crowd, how happy the church crowd must have been when Jesus comes along and starts healing people all over the place. Well, we find out that that's not true. They saw Jesus as a threat. Instead of praising him, they criticized him. "He's not doing things the way we do them. He's not doing things right. He is off the rails," is what he is. "He's not at all conforming to what we think things ought to be. He's not teaching the way we teach, and he's not teaching what we teach. He's not doing things the traditional way." But the people, oh, that was a different story. That was a completely different story. They came from all over the place to see Jesus. Why? Because they couldn't get enough of his teaching? I hardly think so. I don't think they all came because they wanted to hear about getting into the kingdom of God. No, they came because they had infirmities. They came because they were hurting. They came because here was one who could heal. He had demonstrated that. He had proven that he could bring healing into along with him into any place that he went. And here's a guy that didn't send him home with a jar full of leeches and tell him to take two and call him in the morning. Here's a guy that was healing people on the spot. And buddy, that drew a crowd. That drew a crowd. He was healing people left and right, and people come to be healed. The message was an add-on. Is it any wonder that after just a couple of days in this area that folks all over the place were talking about Jesus? Folks all over the place were looking for him, trying to nail him down, trying to find him, because they all had that it hurts. And they're looking for him all over the place. Then we go in to the second chapter. And that's what we read to start with. That's the buildup. That's the background to where we are, the context that we have in this particular passage. Jesus draws a crowd. And in this crowd on this day, there's several different people in the crowd. And the people that are in the crowd on that day are people that are in the crowd on this day. The people in that crowd are the same people that are gathered up in a crowd today. The same cast of characters that was there that day are the same cast of characters that are here this day. And I'm wondering how hard it'd be for you to pick yourself out. Huh? How hard would it be for you to pick yourself out of a lineup that we have in Mark chapter 2 in the first 12 verses. Now the first thing, and the first people that I see that are showing up in this crowd, is I see that there was some hungry-hearted people that showed up in this crowd. Some hungry-hearted people. There are some folks that could sense that there was something special about Jesus. And they wanted to come and see what this was all about. They were hungry, and their heart ached, and they wanted to see and hear and experience what Jesus was bringing to the place. They didn't want to miss a thing. And that's the first group of people that shows up, hungry-hearted people. They were there when he opened the door. They were there on the outside of the window when they opened the windows. They had gathered around this place where they had found him, and they were going to be there until somebody run them off. And so they gathered up. They were hungry. They were hungry for the things that he was bringing. Hungry-hearted people showed up. They found him. They hunted him out, scoured the land for him. And then when they found him, they gathered up in the place where he was, just so they could get a glimpse, just so they could get an earful, just so they could hear and experience and be around Jesus where he was. In our New Testament, over on the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," it says. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I ask you the question today, are you part of the hungry-hearted crowd this morning? Are you numbered in that crowd that can't get enough? That crowd that wants to know more, that wants to be around where Jesus is, that wants to be by the window, wants to hear, wants to touch, wants to experience all that he brings. Are you part of the hungry-hearted crowd this morning? Are you looking to be, are you hungering and thirsting to be filled with righteousness? Are you hungering and thirsting to know more about Jesus this morning? Are you numbered among the hungry and thirsty crowd today? Are you hungry for the things of God? Does your heart long for Jesus? Does your heart ache for Jesus this morning? Would you rather have Jesus than anything today? Then you've come to the right place. You've come to the right place because He is here. He's here and He's in this house. And if you'll let Him, He'll speak to you. He'll fill you up. He'll quench your thirst. He'll slake your hunger. He'll minister to you this morning if you'll listen for Him, if you'll watch for Him, because He's here. The great sadness that we have in our world today is the fact that it is a hungry world, but it don't know what it's hungry for. We're living in a world that's hungry, wants to devour everything, but it's devouring the wrong stuff. Doesn't know what it's hungry for. Doesn't know what it's looking for. It's looking for anything, looking for something, looking for help, looking for comfort, looking for hope, but it's looking for it in all the wrong places. Doesn't know what it's hungry for. Doesn't know what it is to be, to have that hunger dealt with. I was, not before last. No, it's last night. I was there at the house, and I was hungry. But everything I looked at didn't sound good to me. Opened the fridge. I got a fridge. Thanks some of you for the fridge. I got a fridge, man. It's almost full. There wasn't nothing in there I wanted to eat. Went in the pantry. Got a pantry. And in that pantry, there's stuff on the shelves. Even Little Debbie's. And I love those guys. But it just didn't sound good to me. And I opened the crispers, and I opened the freezer, and opened the cabinet. Wasn't much in the cabinet. But I looked all over the place, looked all over in there, looked in the snack box, looked everywhere, place that I could think of. But nothing sounded good. And so I just went and sat down for a little bit. You ever do that? I don't do it often. Got that straight. But I did this time. And that's a picture of the world. People looking everywhere for something that satisfies. Folks are devouring things that leave them just as hungry as they were before they ate it. What they need. And what you may need here this morning is what these folks in Capernaum came for. You might need a taste of the bread of life. Because I guarantee you, the bread of life will fill you. The bread of life, Jesus says, I am the bread. That bread of life will fill you up. It'll close up that emptiness. It'll fill that hole that is in you. And that's what the world needs. The world's looking, but it's not seeing. It's not seeing. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me will never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Did you come hungry-hearted this morning? Did you come hungry for the things of God? Did you come hungry to hear from Him that you might respond to what it is that He's directing you to do? So that's the first group. The hungry-hearted came to where Jesus was, where you've come to today. Love Him. Draw close to Him. Enjoy Him. Open your heart to Him. Let Him satisfy your hunger this morning. The next groups that we see that show up are the helpless. Got a helpless one that showed up. And then you got some helpers that show up as well. So you got the hungry-hearted that show up. Then you got a helpless one. And then you have some helpers. That's in verse 3 there. The helpless one. Here was one person who was sick of the palsy. That means he is paralyzed. Could not function. Unable to do for himself. Miserable. Yet hopeful that Jesus could heal. He was a sinner. He knew it. Jesus knew it. It was part of the reason he was paralyzed, it appears. So Jesus takes care of the problem. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. All around us today, there are spiritual quadriplegics. Folks that are paralyzed, helpless in their sin. Paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by doubt. Paralyzed by prejudice. A lot of paralytics around us today. Paralyzed by a financial mess. By health problems. Paralyzed by a mate that's causing their life to be a living hell. Stuck in jobs that they hate. Enduring uncertainties. Helpless and losing hope. Ready to give up. And I say to you this morning, if you're a helpless one this morning that's paralyzed by some of these things, I say to you, wake up. Wake up. Jesus is in the house. If your strength has failed to free you, if your plan for happiness has failed, how about admitting it and then letting Jesus have a go at it? He has a wonderful plan for your life. How many times have I heard that? Well, it's true. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And I tell you this, if Jesus can heal a paralytic, I believe he could heal you. Amen? If Jesus can cleanse a leper, I believe he can cleanse you. If Jesus can cause the blind to see, I believe them peepers of yours can see some light. I believe it can. If Jesus can forgive sins, then why in the world would we want to hold on to them? Why would we? Why would we want to hold on to that mess and tell him to go on down the road? If Jesus is in the house and ready to save your soul this morning, why wouldn't you let him? Why wouldn't you let him? Nothing worse than being helpless. But with Jesus in the house, there's never a hopeless situation. And with him in the house, there's never going to be a time when you'll be helpless without a helper. He's only a cry away. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Boy, he can tend to those that are the helpless ones in the house today. Then the third group, we have the helpers. Four wonderful helpers that we have in the story. There are souls all around us in this community who are going to live and die lost. You know people connected to your life that say they're living, but they have no life. And they're going to die. And unless something changes, they're going to die lost. And you know what? Lost is forever. When you die lost, that's forever. That's not no short-term deal. That's not no temporary situation. And if you know people that are lost, this might all be a good time for you to gather up with two or three helpers. Gather up with two or three helpers and covenant to pray for those individuals. Covenant to pray for these folks that need to know the Lord. You see, that's what you soften them up with. You carpet bomb them with that prayer, you see. That's what that carpet bombing does. It softens things up. You just broadcast that generally and throw it out there and level stuff out so you can get at them whenever it comes time to put the missile on them, you see. You got to carpet bomb the place, and that's what prayer does. It just kind of levels things out. Gets things tenderized, gets things ready, is what prayer does. So that then the soul winner can walk in and with a missile, with a dart, hit them right in the heart with it. And they'll be receptive. And they'll be ready for the things of God. So covenant with a couple of three helpers. Grab a hold of a corner. You and three others grab a hold of a corner somewhere and start praying some helpless one into the kingdom. Put it out there. Get after it. Bring those helpless ones to Christ, you see. Got to have helpers to do that. There are folks who aren't going to receive the message of salvation unless you lift a corner of a stretcher. What happened to the days when we'd go by and pick up some people and take them to church with us? It's hard for people to weasel out when you show up at the door. Huh? Not so many good actors when there's face to face. How many of you been a good actor to your boss on the phone?
Oh, I just feel terrible today. I feel terrible today.
When you show up at the door, they have to do something different. Where's the people that'll pick up a corner of a stretcher and bring people to church in a stretcher, you say? Go by, pick them up, bring them in. There's a stretcher to carry, I guarantee you, if you'll look around for it. You drove to church in one this morning. Maybe there's somebody along the way that you could put in it. Bring them with you. What are some other stretchers that you can use? Pick up that phone. You got it on you right now. Pick it up. Call somebody. Text somebody. Send them a message. Remind them that God loves them. Use the tools that the devil's used them long enough. We might as well get some good use out of them, huh? He's using them pretty hard right now. Why don't we use them for good? What about them old-fashioned cards and letters? A little card, a little letter. Tell somebody that you're thinking about them, that you're praying for them. Remind them about God's love. Pick up a stretcher, if you will. You're special. We missed you. People don't really care what you know till they know that you care, don't they? Pick up a corner. Be about his business. Look around. Open your eyes to see. Have those eyes of compassion like the Lord had eyes of compassion. Look upon the multitude. Look upon that lost multitude. And ponder in your heart how they're going to hear without a messenger. How they're going to hear without a preacher. What's going to change in their life if nobody deems them worthy of the message of the gospel? Pick up a corner. Teach them. Show them. That's what happens here. We got people here to pick up corners, to train people and to teach people while they're here. See, that's my job, part of it. Biggest part of my job. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 tell me that as a pastor, that I'm to perfect you for the work of the ministry in order that you can do the work of the ministry, that you can build up the body of Christ. See, it's not my job to do all the ministry here. It's your job. My job is to give you the tools. It's my job to give you the how-to and the reason why you ought to's. And it's your job to do that. It's your job to pick up that corner of that stretcher. Teach each other. Help each other. Challenge each other. Build each other up. Be there for each other, you see. We got a lot of folks doing a lot of that right now. But I'm going to tell you what. We got a lot of folks doing a lot of things all over the place, doing many things. And I tell you this, sometimes, if there's folks like me here, you can get involved in so many things that you don't do anything any good. And I've been there. Where I've been doing so many things that I'm not doing any of it any good. I want to. I have a desire to. But there's just so much. There's just so much that can be done. So much that you can get involved in. And I finally realized that I was involved in so many things that I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing. What I've been called to do. And there's some tired people here. There's some people here that are working like crazy. I thank God for them. But boy, they could use some help. Oh, my soul, there's some folks here that could use some help. Somebody come alongside them in that ministry. Somebody covenant to pray with them and to help them and to be a part of that, you see. We could use some helpers. We need a lot of helpers to keep a lot of good things going. And I look around and I see some good things that are happening, but I also see some people with their tongue hanging out getting it done. Boy, it sure would be nice if we could see the value and we could talk to the Lord about what our role in it ought to be. Helpers are a unique bunch, too. Those that have a mind to work and a will to help don't generally let anything stand between them and getting it done. And I'll tell you what, we've got a crew around here that has kind of got that mindset. If it needs doing, if it's the right thing to do, we're going to get it done no matter what. And I thank God for them. These men here, they ran into a crowd. So what did they do? Went around it. They didn't give up and go home. They ran into a crowd and they just went around it. Nobody was interested in the helpless one, but they carried him anyway. They were the ones that were interested. They had to take the steps. There wasn't no elevator to get up to the top. They got up on the roof, then they had to dig. They weren't taking no for an answer. They knew what needed to be done, and they set about the job of getting it done. Jesus didn't fly up there to where they were. They had to lower that stretcher down. More work, more situations, more thinking, more stuff that went on with it. You see, helpers think about other people. They don't think about themselves all the time. That's what a helper does. They think about other people. That's what people that serve do. They think about other people rather than about themselves. How it would be for me. What am I going to get out of this? See, helpers don't think that way. That's what makes a helper a helper. They don't care who gets the credit. They don't care who gets first billing with things. They just get the job done. Helpers know where they're going. They know what they're going for. And they just don't stop until they get there. You know where you're going? Are you headed for that land that's fairer than day? Are you a citizen of heaven this morning? Are you just passing through this land? Is your future as bright as the promises of God? Are you blood bought? Are you born again? Then friend, if you know where you're going, then don't let anything stop you or stand in your way. Don't let anything keep you from serving and being what God has called you to be. You got your ticket punched, your name on the title deed of the courthouse of heaven, you got a mansion over the hilltop, shoot that direction. Just keep heading that direction. Keep serving. Keep going. Keep growing. Keep being the helper that God called you to be. We need some folks to grab a hold of the corner of a stretcher around here. And help some people. You were saved to serve, amen? Not saved to sit around, you were saved to serve. We all have a place of service. We all ought to be engaged in the work of serving. Then we have the fourth group. That's in verse 6 and 7. This group I call the hinderers. The hinderers. Here we have the critics. The bellyachers. Those that could sit in the most inspiring service ever held and sleep through it. Those that could hear the best sermon ever preached and be bored. The hinderers. They're everywhere. They're in every group that comes together. Those that read the words that burn in the bosom of the hungry hearted and sleep on. Call it dead. Call it boring. Call it lifeless. Those that listen to the great hymns which men and women for generations have used as stairways to lift their thoughts and their minds towards God, who can hear those great words and those great songs and sit unmoved and silent. Hinderers, the fire extinguishers in the group, the group that see a little spark of something going on and have to put that thing out real quick. Splash a little baking soda on that so we don't want to get this thing going too big. I'll tell you what, there are those that would bellyache if the Lord Jesus Christ himself came to deliver a message. And they did. And what happened then happens now. And the group that we have that's represented there is represented here, and not just here in this church, but across the churches of this land. Let our testimony be found as those in verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Tell you what, if we'll be hungry-hearted, helpers, friends of God, we'll see things in the midst of us here that we never saw before. You'll see things a whole lot different if you get engaged, if you get involved, if you begin to move and grow in the things of God. You'll see things you never saw before. You'll see God's hand move in ways you never thought possible. You'll see Him move, and it'll encourage you. It'll challenge you, and it'll humble you all at the same time. I tell you what, there's some here today that need some help. I have no doubt of it. All four of these groups are present. There's some here that need help. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, He's in the house. He's in the house this morning, and He's ready to save you if you'll let Him. Amen? He is here and ready and willing to save you. There is nobody here that is exempt. He'll save you if you'll let Him here today. Are you saved? Are you obeying Him? Have you followed Him in believer's baptism? Are you hooked up with a good Bible-believing church? Have you followed the path that you know? Are you hungry for the things of God? Huh? Where are you starting this morning? What's your starting value? You saved? Progressing? Growing? Or are you stagnant? Helpless? Or maybe even worse, are you one of the hinderers here this morning? God can take you from wherever you are and take you up one step. Amen? He can take you wherever you are in the spectrum this morning, and He can move you up. And I tell you what, we need to move up. We need to move up in the things of God. There are people that are waiting on us to take a step. And every step we take makes room for somebody to step up, doesn't it? Huh? We need to step up. We don't need to worry about the one that's behind us. We need to take a step this morning. No matter where you are, what it is, you take a step up, and I guarantee you, it'll create room for somebody to step up with you. The hungry-hearted can step up. Listen. Respond to the Lord. You know what? When you're in tune with Him, He says so much. He asks so much. He puts so much out there. And it's for us to grow from. Feeling helpless? Boy, there's some place to go. You can look up to Him. You a helper? You're serving in the church and all that sort of thing? Double check. Double check what you're doing and why you're doing it. Are you doing something just because it needs doing? You doing something because you've been called to do it? Are you doing it because nobody else wouldn't do it? You can check that out on yourself. And then those of you that are the hinderers in here are the ones that don't pick up that corner, that make it hard on the helpers. What can you do to help a helper? What can you do? Everybody can do something. I have people tell me all the time, "Oh, I done got old and I can't do nothing no more." Honestly, I have people tell me that all the time. I'm too old for that. I don't care what you're too old for. I want to know what you're young enough to do. Huh? What are you young enough to do? Then do it. Don't be telling me what you can't do. Tell me what you can do. Because that's kind of where the Lord's coming from. I don't care what you can't do. I care about what you can do that you're not. Huh? We all have abilities. We all have the abilities. Every one of us has abilities, and God can use every one of those abilities for His glory. No, He cannot. He couldn't use... Well, I guarantee you, there's some of you that can wash dishes that don't. Amen? Because I've been sitting here looking at a bulletin here for about 6 months now that says, we sure do need some help in the kitchen every once in a while. And there's some people here that could wash a dish, but won't. And you can wash a dish for the glory of God. Amen? It can be done. Boy, it's hard for me, but it could be done. Yes, you can. There's so many little things that can be done for God's glory. Little bitty things. And you take one of them little bitty things and take it off of somebody that's already doing them. And maybe even doing them begrudgingly. Man, you could change things around here with just a few little acts of service here this morning. That's just one example. That's not the only one I was shooting for today, but that's just one little old example that we have before us this morning. What can you do? I don't care what you can't do. What can you do that you're not doing? Because it can all be done for the Lord. So there it is. There's the cast of characters. Find yourself in the list. Find yourself in there this morning. And then as we give invitation here in about 2 minutes, as we do that, why don't you respond in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord for that? Huh? Don't be doing something because the preacher pointed you out. Don't be doing something because the preacher this or that or the other, and you make you look good if you do it this week. Do it because it's between you and the Lord. Do it because it's between you and the Lord. Amen? Yeah, that's what this is all about. That's what it's all about. So stand with me if you will. We'll wrap up our time together this morning.